welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
So we've got a whole bunch of questions, and I'm going to ask Mezen and Yaneta and Yaku to come and join us, and Meryl can join us as well if she wants to. But we're going to need one or two more chairs. Just while we're just rearranging everything, you met my wife, Yaneta, the other night. But I'm going to give Mezen just a quick chance to share a short bit of her testimony. And just a little bit of your experience and what God's done, just relationally.
Hi, guys and girls. My name is Mezen. Some of you, if you guys are there on Sunday night, then you've heard a lot of my testimonies. I'm just trying to think quickly what I can share. Who of you were there on Sunday night? Then most of you know my story, but I just want to say that if you have messed up, and one of the things that that my husband and I struggled with before we got married, in the relationship that we were in, we got saved and we didn't have sex before we got married. I did have sex before I got saved, though, and God restored me, and God restored my husband as well. And but in that time that we were dating, it was really hard for us to maintain sexual purity. It wasn't easy, and I think anybody that knows God, that it's hard. It's not easy. This, like what Philip said, God wouldn't have said three times, "Do not stir it up," if it wasn't hard and if he wasn't serious about it. In that time, we had to have quite a few accountability partners, and we came close to messing up. We went too far in our minds a few times, and there were a few times in our relationship that we really had to repent and ask God for forgiveness and whatever. So it's not an easy journey, but it's a possible journey. And with our friends and with God's help, really, we were able to get married without having sex before marriage and come to a place of purity before we got married. Our thoughts was the biggest battle, because you come out of this worldly mindset and then you get saved and everything doesn't change automatically, and it's really a disciplined process that you have to really take every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Jesus Christ every time when it comes into your mind. Because if you leave it there, then it just grows and it just festers and it just gets big and it gets harder to get rid of. So I really just want to testify of God's goodness, that God is faithful and God is more committed to our journey of purity with Him than we are. So God is really good in that. And if you trust God to come and do this work in you, He's faithful to bring it into a place of perfection. And our marriage is awesome. We've been married almost 6 years now, and I can say boldly that our marriage bed is undefiled, and sex in marriage is beautiful, and it brings glory to God, and it's fun, and there's nothing to be scared of, and there's nothing to be, you don't have to think that, no, but you're not worthy of a godly man if you've messed up, because that was a thing that I really struggled with before I met my husband, that, God, how am I ever going to be worthy of a man that loves you and that seeks after you wholeheartedly? And Andre is amazing. He really loves God, and he really pursues God with everything that he has, and he loves me and respects me in a way that I don't deserve. So God is faithful, and you can have amazing dreams, and you can have great desires of your marriage one day, and know that it can be blessed even if you do mess up, or even if you have messed up. God is faithful.
Sorry guys, I want to ask you something. If you want to clap, will you clap like this?
No.
Just because Lisa is sleeping, and when you clap she wakes up. That's the only reason.
Hello everyone, my name is Meryl, and maybe I'll speak a little bit more focused than I did on Sunday.
When I was 3 years old, I was molested. So, and then, like, I had issues with my dad, which projected into issues with most men. And even when I joined the church, I was like a looker, but I'd like look and think, oh, I'm gonna fray that person's okie off like that, like all the time. But all the way through that, God protected my virginity. And I can't explain how, and because there were times where I was in hotels with guys or things like that, and God just protected it. And on our marriage night, it was just like, it was such a cool testimony of, I know that Michal, my husband, who's overseas, is coming back in 7 sleeps. Yay! I can't imagine how it is with someone who is not committed in your relationship, because there was just such purity, and he was so gentle with me that I could completely trust myself with him, and God restored I knew Michal for 2.5 years before we even started like going for little coffee dates. And in that time, God really came to restore what a man is and how I should treat a man, and just what a man is in my eyes. It's not someone that I must try and beat the whole time or whatever. And God really did restore that. And yeah, we have an awesome marriage, and he's coming back soon. So yay.
Good evening, guys. My name is Jaku. I've been married for just over 7 months now, and it's been great, I can tell you that. Just a little bit about myself. Grew up in a Christian family, had a great dad and great mom, and served the Lord from a young age. And my heart's always been after the Lord. Then in school, I also had like my bout with pornography and masturbation and stuff like that. Was addicted for a long time. And then God just came and delivered me from that, and through that just drew me close to Him. And I just want to testify of just my relationship with my wife. By God's grace, like He kept me, and nothing else, just by God's grace. Like, I never touched a girl, I never kissed a girl, I never held another girl's hand. And yeah, even through our whole time of courting and just before we got married, we never even kissed or anything like that. So yeah, it's just a bit about myself, and it's just by God's grace. And if you pursue God with all your heart, and if you pursue that purity, He will give you like specific instructions on what to do and what not to do. For us, it was not kissing and all that stuff. But you know, I can tell you, it's worth it. It's so worth it, and it can be done. So yeah.
Thanks, Jaku. Wat Dani, jy is hier. Wil jy voorkom sit? He's been there the longest of all of us, I think. Mason wins. Okay. Jy kan kom as jy wil. Hy het baie wysheid om te gee. And if someone doesn't believe us, you can just beat it into them. Okay, I'm going to ask the questions that you guys put in the box, and we'll address them thoroughly but briefly at the same time. Obviously, we don't have hours, and some of these questions are whole sessions by themselves, and Mezen and Meryl, we can see, really wants to present a whole session by themselves, so I'll note that for next time. Okay, this first question is Afrikaans. I'll translate it second time around. Sena jy was baie immoral, it's like a mixture between Afrikaans and Engels. Sena jy was baie immoral, en jy het verander deur iemand wat jou na God gebring het, en ons het verkeerd begin, maar leef nou in God se way. Is ons geseën, of moet ons ander paaie gaan? Ons is nou gered. I'm assuming it's a lady. She was immoral and got saved by a guy leading her to church and to Christ. And they started a relationship wrong. I'm assuming that means sexually. But they're now living God's way. I'm assuming that means respecting each other, loving each other, and obviously non-sexual at the same time. Are they blessed, or must their path split? I think this one's iemand specific. Excuse? Yeah, but maybe the person was a specific anonymous question. So, I think in that case, to me, this question comes down to the root. Is because the relationship started wrong, does it mean it can never be right? No, it can. I think what's important is that you just ask yourself, why are you still together? Are you still together because you really believe in this person for who the person is? And there's no reason why, just because you got, I mean, if you want to take it a step further, that's like saying if a couple get together before they know Christ, they get married, and halfway through their marriage they get saved, does that now mean they must start again? So I think the same principle applies here, that it's not necessarily wrong. It's not necessarily the wrong person. You just maybe started off wrong, but thank God He saved you, and keep doing it the right way now. Okay, and really trust God. I'm sure you'll know it. Once you've stepped over a boundary, it's really hard to move the boundary back again. But trust God for the grace to walk in that purity. Second question. What do you do when there are a lot of guys that want to go on coffee dates with you, but you're not interested or don't like them? The whole flower and bee scenario. Do you need to go out with them to give them a chance, or can you say no? Meryl wants to answer this one.
I shared a bit on Sunday. If I didn't go on a coffee date, I didn't want to go with my husband. Oh, it was a milkshake. Thanks, Sarah Ann. It was a milkshake. It was summer. I didn't want to go because I didn't feel that way about him. And like I said, if I didn't go on that first milkshake date, then I would have been single today, I think, still. But what I learned from him, and eventually God changed my heart to fall in love with him, is that I loved him as a friend. And in those little coffee dates and milkshake dates and movies, and I really learned to love him as a friend and love who he is. And it was never a lustful thing. And I think girls give the guys a chance. Like, what the heck? You know? Oh, she's awake. But yeah, I think that's all.
I just want to, something Philip always says is, going for coffee, it's not a marriage proposal. So meet the guy. Yeah.
What I also want to say is, if there are 50 guys asking you on coffee dates all the time, then I hope you like coffee. But also just ask yourself, are you maybe sending out a message that tells the guys that you are interested? Just ask your lady friends to help with that as well. Say, am I maybe leading all of these guys on? Why? If a couple of guys are interested in you, maybe it's just because you're cool. But if every second guy you meet asks you on a coffee date, then maybe not the problem with all 7,000 guys on the planet. Then there's a question which Janet and I couldn't quite figure out. How do you know when and what you should sacrifice some things and for how long? That's what I thought as well when I read it. I think Janet gave a good semi-answer to the question.
You know, now I've got to think what I said. Yeah, I was thinking about sacrificing. When I was dating Philip, I never felt like I had to sacrifice anything to get to know him. When you get married, some things might change and you might need to, in a sense, sacrifice something. But while you're dating, I never experienced that I have to sacrifice. Like, the only thing that I could think when I read that question was maybe, I don't like rugby. And I learned to like rugby because he loves sports. So I'm sacrificing my time with my guitar and my time with my paintings to go and watch rugby. So in that sense, it was a good sacrifice to make, if that's what the question meant. Little things, maybe in interest-wise. But you shouldn't sacrifice your moral things. Those sacrifices, they're not negotiables. Those kind of sacrifices. Okay, I don't know. Does that sound the answer for most of you? Does it sound like a yay?
Then the next question, is dating biblical? Well, the alternate is arranged marriages. This is a selfish mom, eh? um, is dating biblical? I think the question here maybe comes to a lot of the literature today which distinguishes between dating and courting. And to my mind, it's the same thing, just with a different name. Dating in the worldly sense, where I go out with this girl this week and I sleep with her and then I drop her and the next week it's this girl, that I think is unbiblical and doesn't represent the heart of God. But a couple of years ago, that session that Tian was speaking about, two halves don't make a whole, I put a couple of assumptions just right at the beginning, five or six assumptions. And one of them was that the purpose for this relationship is to find out whether you are the person I want to marry. And obviously, if I see Janeta, I like Janeta, Janeta's nice, I can either right there, which I think is unwise, take a plunge and say, Janeta, will you marry me? And she's going to be like, what? Or I can pursue her, I can get to know her in a pure way, seeing what her heart is, understanding her heart, asking myself and asking God all the time, God, is this the woman I want to marry? And dating in that sense, I think, is very much in the heart of God. The other option, as I said, is an arranged marriage. Okay, I think I was on a missions trip recently and there was another team that joined us, just to put this in a little bit perspective. And these two, the guy and the girl, the leader and one of the people on the team, they'd been seeing each other regularly, going out together for 4 or 5 months, spending Friday evenings together, always together, you know, praying together, sharing together, but they weren't going out. So, because he hadn't, they didn't want to say that they're not dating, because dating is a big step. And now it was all difficult because on the mission, suddenly he was different. He wasn't hugging her all the time like he used to hug her, and now she feels what's going on or whatever. So I said to him, just be honest with yourself. You are going out with this girl. Just because you haven't formalized it, your commitment to her and her heart's expectation from you is what everybody else calls going out. So you're staring into a label, and because of that, you're missing your point. So I encourage you, a lot of the literature today says dating is unbiblical, but they're talking, and then they'll say, but you must court. And to me, courting and dating is the same thing. It's just a different name. It's the heart from which I'm doing it, which might be a difference. I don't know if someone else wants to add. She's got the baby, now she wants the microphone too.
No, she's going to eat it. I just want to say that when I was in London, it was actually a funny story. There was a musician on stage, and once the pastor actually had to stand up on stage and say to the girls, do not come to this guy telling him that God told you that you are going to marry him. Because if God told you that you were going to marry him, then he will tell him as well. And on that point, sometimes people do feel that they've heard from God that this is my life partner. I just want to say, go on with a lot of caution when people do that, because you're putting a lot of pressure on the dating process, let's call it that, or courting or whatever. You need to get to know this person before you go there. Otherwise, you're putting pressure on a friendship before it's time. And that's, yeah, I just wanted to say that.
I think Mezen will enjoy this next one. Is it Sonde? En verkeerd in die oë van die Here om in dieselfde bed te slaap, maar nie seks te hê nie. Byvoorbeeld as mens vir 'n naweek gaan kamp en in een tent slaap, of vir 'n naweek weggaan, moet mens twee chalets kry, of is dit reg om op dieselfde bed te slaap? Going away for a weekend, sleeping together in the same bed, but not having intercourse, is that sinful and wrong in the eyes of the Lord?
I don't want to make a rule and say that it's wrong, but why would you want to, you know, it's stupid. Because everything we've talked about tonight is about your thoughts. That's where it starts. And then, like, imagine this guy that Philip was talking about that wants to steal stuff, then he locks himself in a bank, like, alone, with all this money. And he's the only one that can tell himself that he mustn't take this money, but this money is all around him. So I think if... try and stay safe. So if at all possible, or no, not even if at all possible, it's always possible to not do that. I remember just before we got married, Andre came to sleep in the same house as where I was staying. There were two other people in the house, but he came to do that on a regular basis. It's safer for him to rather go home. I know sometimes it gets late or whatever, but rather make a rule. Things just get hard after 11 o'clock. Rarig. Difficult. I mean, difficult. Things get difficult after 11.
Yeah, I just want to add one aspect that was important for me as well, and with me and Mia, when I went to her house, and sometimes, like, I had went with me and my brother and stayed over at her house when her parents were gone and there were no one home and she was alone. And, you know, for me, one of my accountability partner challenged me on this and saying, no, apart from you guys, you know, you're strong and whatever, but what about the testimony that you're projecting to the people out there? You know, what about the younger Christians looking up to you? And, you know, what about all that stuff? What about the testimony that you're giving to the world? Is that glorifying God?
Thanks, Jaco. Waar moet jy stop as jy vry? Waar raak dit verkeerd? I think we've covered that. Guys, it's really easy to know. And on that, guys, you're meant to be the leader, so take the lead. Take the lead in purity, and take the lead in holiness, and take the lead in respecting her in that sense. And yourself. I talk to my boyfriend about what bothers me, but he doesn't seem to listen or care. He doesn't take me serious. What do I do? In this case, Dr. Phil gets to ask the question, not answer it. I talk to my boyfriend about what bothers me, but he doesn't seem to listen or care. He doesn't take me serious. What do I do? Ask the audience. Okay, if this is you and you put this question in here, I'd strongly advise you to come and speak to one of these ladies or another married lady, and get some just biblical advice to find out what's going on in the situation. In the same way, I would strongly advise all of you, if you're unmarried, it's great sitting and chatting to your friends, but if you've got relational questions and issues, don't ask the guy who's not getting it right either. Because he's also single. Go ask somebody who's, you know, got a trophy of success, you know. If you want relationship advice, good relationship advice, go to somebody who's got a good relationship and who you'd like to see that same fruit of their relationship in your relationship. Okay, don't ask the guy who just broke up with a girlfriend about your relationship because, yeah, there are a million things that go wrong. Next one. My boyfriend says he isn't and never will be romantic. I never get flowers, romantic dinners, dates, notes, etc. Do I accept this or am I putting myself second best? I am unhappy.
I think Janeta spoke about this a little bit in her session that there's a difference between an expectation and a desire, firstly. So I think, girls, be careful of what you expect from a guy. Your guy might be romantic in a different way than what the movies portray. Like, Arvia just made a happy birthday movie for Alice. That's how he is romantic. Andre, and romance changes in every phase of your relationship, every season of your relationship. Like, for me, when Andre and I were dating, it was very romantic if he took me out for a movie or whatever, bought me flowers. Then when we got married, for me, it was romantic if he
picked up his clothes and everything was, and but I'm serious, and made the bed before I got home. Like that was a treat for me. Now when we have a child, it's romantic for me if he makes a date arrangement and his parents, oh man, opa, kom kuier, to look after Mika, so that him and I can go out. Because then I know that Mika is fine, and she loves being with opa and oma, so I don't have to worry about her. And he knows that blesses my heart, because I won't enjoy it if I know that she's not okay. And then we go out for a coffee, even if it's 10 minutes, because that's what your season allows. So just be careful of what your expectation is of the guy before you put pressure on the relationship romantically. Then I think if the guy loves you and respects you, then he'll get to know you and he'll know what treats you. So what you find romantic. So on the other end, if the guy is really interested in you, then he'll find out what blesses your heart and will want to do that.
Some snapping for that one. Give some practical examples of how a lady can show respect towards her husband, or even how to cultivate an attitude of submissiveness and of showing respect while she is still single. Very good question.
Okay, firstly about submission. As a lady, you don't have to submit to all men. Okay, so you don't, this is going to sound funny, but when you're dating a guy, you don't have to submit to him in the sense of, if you think about submitting, then think there's a crossroad and a decision needs to be made, then you will submit to your authority. Nee? So you will listen to your boss, or you will listen to your father. You will listen to an authority in your life. You don't do that with your boyfriend. That's not his place. When you're married, that changes. Okay. Respect, on the other hand, is you can start practicing. You practice it with all the authority in your life. You practice it with all your boyfriends, guy friends. You learn, how can I talk to a man without disrespecting him? Because they do work differently than girls in that sense. They have a very, it's going to sound funny, but they have a sensitive ego. So you need to learn how to talk to him so that you don't offend him. And that you can learn with your male friends now. So that you can just learn how to do that then when you're married.
I also learned that one of my friends, I'm just making an example. We were in church the one day, and there was a plastic chair, a plastic table that needed to be carried. And we in our house, we three girls, and then the boy is the last one. So my father needed like a boy pretty soon. So I became like his guy. And like I used to help him with stuff. So that's how I was raised. And that's also a bit why I had issues with guys. But anyway. And I wanted to carry this table. And my friend came to me and she's like, put it down. And I'm like, why? It's a plastic table. I can manage. And she was like, let the men do it. And so not to take that, you know, Yoneta said a guy wants to be a hero. Not to take that away from him. That's also respecting him. No, you don't want to emasculate him. You want him to be a man. Men.
Yeah, just to add to that, from a guy's point of view, when a guy musters up the courage, you know, to open a door for a girl, you know, and a girl's just like, oh, you know, whatever. You know, that crushes a guy, you know, and his attempt to be a man. And even if it's in a small thing, you know, like when there's a bottle of wine on the table and the girl just goes and opens it, you know. You know, even if you have to wait for the guy. And this is why I want to encourage you, ladies. You've got so much potential, so much power in you in your femininity, in your womanhood, to inspire a guy. You know, even if you leave that bottle of wine and he doesn't open it and he's stupid and, you know, later on you're like, you know, He'll jump to it, and you would have encouraged him to be a better man. And you've got so much power. Just remember that. You've got so much potential. Yeah.
Thanks, Yaku. I like this question. is there a Bible verse telling guys to also look after themselves, eating healthy, etc.? Because when I think of my ridder op die wit perd, it's definitely not a fat one who doesn't look after himself. And yes, there is. First commandment in the New Testament, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is, you love your neighbor like you love yourself. And the prerequisite to loving your neighbor like you love yourself is loving yourself. And looking after yourself is just a sign of loving yourself. So, I want to say to you, if there's a guy or a girl with a, whether it be an eating disorder of sorts or just a bad self-image, that's a symptom of not loving themselves. And they need Jesus to come and heal and set them free from that. And I'd encourage you, if you're in church and you know people like that, who just have a bad self-image, however it manifests, encourage them to do the foundation courses. Because especially at the Legacy Seminar, the third one, we spend a lot of attention and a lot of time just on bringing healing into those areas. Janetta wants to add something about a fat man, because apparently I...
No, I want to swap it around about a skinny girl for the boys. If you're dating a girl who's got serious issues and she's not eating, that's also not healthy. So you shouldn't be motivating her to stay skinny because that's your idea of beauty, because she also needs healing from that. Okay.
Just on that, I think also coming back to expectations and desires, be careful of what your expectation is, because you're not always going to look like you look now. And if your judgment on the person that you're with is of a certain standard, what if that person's expectation of starts being like that of you in 10 years' time? So just remember that when you're looking at someone, that you're not always going to look as fantastic as you look now, and you're going to have babies, and you're going to not look the same after that. Just be very careful with that, having this picture of this men's health front page dude. But there's a difference in loving yourself, and not everybody is a comrades marathon runner and eats according to a perfect diet or whatever. But there is obviously credit in looking after yourself and loving yourself and whatever, but just be careful with that expectation.
We're going to have to go a little bit quicker. That was question 10 or 24. Okay. But we won't do all of them. My boyfriend doesn't let me go through a door first. He also doesn't open doors for me. He forgets to offer me something to drink when he makes himself coffee. He doesn't offer to help with dishes. Am I being oversensitive? I think we've pretty much covered that one in terms of desires and expectations. And communicate. Maybe just tell him that he'd appreciate it if he does it. Because maybe he's a bit doff, you know, like most guys. And maybe, unfortunately, the reality is some guys today grow up and their mom or their sisters do everything for them. And they come into a relationship and they've got the same expectation. And you need to maybe just help the guy understand that that's not how life works. That you really love him and you really like him. But maybe this is an area you can grow a little bit. So, wash some dishes. And one day when you get married, the very best gift you can ever buy for your relationship is a dishwasher. I bought one for my first wedding anniversary. I should have bought it when I asked her out. Okay. My boyfriend dislikes, the guys are really shocking around here. Anyway, my boyfriend dislikes and holds grudges against people. He also doesn't greet people properly and is rude. I forgive easily and am a very nice and social person. Will it work? Well, the first thing is ask your boyfriend if he thinks you're nice and social. That just seems to me there's a lot of dysfunction going on right there. Make an appointment to come and speak to somebody else who's got a successful marriage and ask for some advice. You need a little bit more information about that one. I think Yaku will enjoy this question. Is it okay for men and women to look at and admire other people's bodies when they are in a relationship?
What are you doing? I think we basically, Philip basically spoke about that already. Just, and with what Avi said about the eyes and all. You know, how are you respecting that person? How are you respecting your wife or your future husband by indulging in that stuff before marriage? It's not good.
Yeah, I just want to add just before Yanetta does. I think it's important there again. If it's sexual, then Scripture is really clear about it. Whoever looks at a woman with lust to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. So that's not a standard of any man. That's a standard that God holds before us as believers. And this question says, when they are in a relationship, I want to just delete that and say it's never right. When you're in a relationship or not in a relationship, you shouldn't be fantasizing and admiring other people's bodies. I think that there's a very special type of person who has the ability to look at a person of the opposite sex in a completely non-sexual way. And in that sense, I suppose that's like looking at a flower. You're just admiring the beauty, but it's not sexual at all. And in that sense, there's nothing wrong with it, but as soon as the sexual element enters, then Scripture is very clear about that.
For me, before God like delivered me, I did struggle with it. But now I can honestly say I look at guys and girls and I can really say, wow, that girl's really pretty. Oh my word, that guy's great eyes. Like that. I really appreciate the beauty. And also I'm a Pilates instructor. So I look at a body and I see a body. I don't, like that's for me. So God has given me grace, for that, and it will be different for different people.
Okay. When getting to know a guy, is it possible to spend too much time together, even though you do spend enough time with God?
There's an old saying, moenie die pap te dik aanmaak nie. Remember that when you're dating somebody, if you don't make the gebrand, die pap gebrand. If you're dating somebody, remember you still have friends, because this person you are getting to know could be gone in a month because you're getting to know the person. Don't lose your friends. Okay, build your life, and you're seeing this person as part of your life. And my advice always to people is also, when you're getting to know somebody, is try and see them as much as possible with your friends. Let them be part of your life. Don't go into a funny little bubble where it's just the two of you, because that's a very dangerous place. I used to be in a relationship like that. It's very dangerous.
Yeah, I think it's not just exclusive to relationships. Even in marriage, it's dangerous to put yourself aside. Isolate. It's dangerous to isolate yourself as a couple, because who's going to speak into your life? And then when the football hits the fan, who are you going to talk to? And then there is opportunity for the pulpit to speak to the fan. Whereas if you don't isolate yourself and you're in a group of friends that speak into your life, then it doesn't get as far as that. Then there's opportunity for people to tell you, ooh, warning signal, ooh, oppas net, ooh, shoo, that was not nice, you should have said it that way. Or when last did you buy her flowers? Or when last did you tell him that, shoo, uit my arms, or whatever. So on.
Okay, how does one really describe the fear of God in a man and a woman? It's a whole series of sermons in there. I think if I were to summarize the fear of God, how do you see the fear of God in someone? It's somebody obviously who loves God and who knows God, but at the same time has an understanding for the righteousness of God. And has an understanding that, yes, God is gracious, God is righteous, but He is also sitting on His throne, where He will judge you and me for every work we've ever done on this earth. It's a little bit, I think, maybe like the relationship, the fear element, not the whole thing. The fear element is probably a little bit like a relationship, a healthy relationship with the headmaster at school. You know he's good at what he does. You know everybody looks up to him. Everybody respects him. And you know that you don't unnecessarily want to be called into his office. There's a respect for the office that he holds. And Lisa also is finding her voice suddenly. Okay. So the fear of God to me, to summarize it just a little bit in that sense, is just somebody who respects the holiness, the purity, and the righteousness of God, as well as the grace and the goodness and the love of God. Okay. Scripture says, consider the goodness and severity of God. I feel hurt and ugly when my boyfriend says how hot and beautiful other women are. Am I oversensitive or insecure? Probably not. He's just an idiot and needs to get saved. I think we've covered that. Maybe the guy does have an appreciation for just physical beauty without being sexual. But speaking about hot and beautiful, if he's not telling you that all the time, and he's telling you that about the other woman he sees, then, I'd seriously consider you to pray about whether he's the guy who's going to make you feel like a princess for the rest of your life. But then look at say. Okay. If you're in a relationship with someone for a long time, we're almost done, guys, and have devoted the relationship to God, can that act as the union needed to start engaging in sexual intercourse? As you are faithful to each other and have taken your union and asked God to bless it, even if it ain't official. Okay, in other words, if my boyfriend and I or my girlfriend and I are serious and we committed to one another, can we start having sex? Now here you can get really technical, but when are we married? I'm not a legalistic person like that, and nowhere in Scripture is there a marriage ceremony as such. So we get married when we commit in covenant to one another. So I suppose there is room, and please hear me carefully now, there is room to say that we can get married in the eyes of God before we sign the wedding contract. However, then understand that in the eyes of God you are married. And then all of the responsibilities of husband and wife and all of the expectations that God places on husband and wife becomes applicable to the two of you. In other words, divorce is not an option unless there's sexual immorality, which is then called adultery, which God will judge, which then means that you as a lady must act as a wife acts to her husband, and he must care for you, he must provide for you, he must make exactly the same responsibility that a husband, because then if you want to act like you are married and you want to be married in the eyes of God, then you must be married in the eyes of God. Not just as an excuse to have sex, but maybe I leave him next week. In the same way, I want to say, if you want to get married so that you can just have sex, that's not the reason to get married. You're going to catch a big wake up one morning suddenly when you realize, is this what I'm set up for the rest of my life? And in the same way, if you really want to get married and you really can't wait, then why don't you just get married with the rest of your family all there and you celebrate it together? Obviously, I do understand that sometimes there are financial issues and there are other factors that are at play. But 99% of the time, if you're in a position to get married and it's time is right to get married, then you'll be able to get married. So then just get married. Then if someone else wanted to add something. There can be cultural things, and obviously in South Africa we've got two sorts of legal weddings. We've got the normal legal wedding, which we understand in the Western culture, and then we've got a cultural marriage, a traditional marriage, and those are marriages as much as any other marriage, as long as you make a heart commitment towards each other till death do us part. Okay. You say a woman can't or shouldn't fix a man, but can a man fix a woman? The funny answer is yes, and his name is Jesus. No man can fix a woman except if you're God. Okay, you can't fix or change another person. It's beyond your scope. All you can do is try and manipulate them and abuse them to be what you want them to be. Only Christ can make them who he wants them to be. Okay. So guys, girls, either way, if you want to be fixed or you want to fix someone, let every red light in your body go on and say, this is a bad idea. Okay. Where does the line lie between innocent affection and sinning against one's own body. I think we've covered that. When you are saved and single, is masturbation also considered to be sexual activity that should not be performed before marriage, or should it not be performed at all? Well, I'd say for men and women, the second one, because you're just stirring up. You're stirring up love. You're stirring up sexual desire where you should be not stirring. You should be avoiding it. If you're running away, you should be fleeing from sexual desire. That does seem to be this. Should I get a little bit harder here? A little bit straighter. Scripture says that if a man looks to a woman to lust after her, he has already committed adultery in her heart. You know what the next two verses say? If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better to enter into eternity maimed than to go whole into the pit of fire. That's the standard scripture holds before. And just a little bit of interpretation. I'm not saying scripture does say this, but it's quite possible that Jesus in the moment, because he was saying it, was referring to lust. You lust with your eye, you masturbate with your hand. He says, you look at a woman to lust after her, and he follows it up with cutting off if your hand causes you to sin or your eye causes you to sin. And there's a very natural link between those two passages, which are just the very next verse flowing onto one another. Okay. So
I just want to jump in here as a therapist. I said to Philip, I really want to say this. Often masturbation is born from maybe you were molested or raped or exposed to pornography, or when you were a child or in an environment where you were exposed to sexual things before your time. Now, there is grace for that, for God to heal you. It doesn't have to be a place of shame or a place of guilt. And there's place, God wants to heal that because he wants you to be whole when you get married, so that the sexual things when you're married should be pure. So I just want to really say that there's grace for that, not condemnation, no shame, but come talk to somebody and then, you know, that you can get healing for that.
You also don't want to get into marriage knowing your body so well that like you're like, no, let me show you. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you want your partner to like figure it out, you know? That's why it's like a lifelong thing.
As a single, saved woman or man, what can you do to satisfy yourself sexually? Run. Flee. Once again, you shouldn't need to be satisfying yourself sexually if you're not stirring up sexual desire. Okay, if there is no sexual desire, there's nothing that needs to be satisfied. What should a woman do if the man she is dating or wants to marry rejects her after finding out she had sex before marriage? What should she do after the rejection, especially in her walk with God? A very good question.
I think the guy that rejects a girl, there's two sides to it. Either he is not at a grace for your past, and God hasn't brought him to a place where he has grace for your past. And it's not wrong of him. I don't think that it's wrong to, any person has a right to say what they desire and what they don't desire. And if he is for you, then God will give him that grace for you, for your past. So I don't think that you should judge him, because then you're kind of throwing the stone back at him. You can pray and ask God to give him that grace, or give him the ability to accept your past. Ask God to open his eyes so that he can see you as God sees you. If he loves God, it's quite possible, or mostly, he will have grace for your past. And he will see you as God sees you. We know of a lot of couples where the one is a Rasa Machrit, he's a pastor now, but he messed up sexually before he got married, and his wife didn't. She got saved at a very young age, and she loves him completely, and she accepts him completely, and there is nothing that she holds against him, and they have a beautiful marriage that really glorifies God. that is what God has purposed for them. So if you're to be together, if God has planned for you to be together, then I think God will give him that grace. For your heart, this I know, that's painful if somebody rejects you because you most probably had sex before marriage because you struggled with rejection issues. And then you can really just trust God to come and heal your heart and rely on Him fully to bring you to a place of wholeness, where when your husband looks at you, all he will see is God's glory.
So I actually forgot. My husband also had sex outside of marriage, but like, and then he got saved and God restored him. And I figure if God can forgive him, who am I not to?
That's what I want to say. If you're on the side, the rejecting side, in other words, you look at the person and it factors into your mind whether they've had sex before marriage or not. I really want to encourage you to just spend some time meditating on the power of the blood of Christ. Because if scripture says she was washed or he was washed, he was cleansed, she was cleansed, further than the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed the iniquity from them. Like Meryl says, if God can forgive them, then who are we not to? But in the same way, if God has cleansed them, then they're clean. If God has washed them, they're clean. And embrace the power of Christ and the blood of Christ and the ability of the blood of Christ to renew. Scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. And I really want to encourage you to have that approach with other believers as you enter into a relationship. Their previous sexual experience should in no way affect how you think or feel about them. Because the blood of Christ has saved them. And then, there's one more last question. Is oral sex bad if you're not married? Definitely. Okay, that's a question for marriage preparation. Outside of marriage, definitely stirring up sexual arousal, obviously. So you're not even going there. Okay. Any other questions before we close off for this evening? Yes, in front here.
I was always wondering why David, he had so many wives. Would it have worked to have so many wives? And
it obviously did work, but it wasn't a very good idea. Just between he and me, one wife is more than enough. Okay. It worked. There were many people in the Old Testament who had many wives. Even Abraham, Isaac, all of them had many wives. Let's not get into the whole polygamous debate. I think scripture says at the beginning in Genesis, he says, for this reason a man shall leave his husband and be joined to his wife. Singular. This is the reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Singular. Okay. So, singular. If a guy has already got four wives and then he gets saved, then scripture also says he can't divorce. Okay? Then he needs to trust God for grace to be a biblical husband to all four of the wives and to be a father to as many kids as he possibly can. So please pray for our president. Okay?
I'd like to know, when you're already married and then one of the partners in the marriage commits adultery and you decide to stay in the marriage, what then? Like, can you, I don't know if you get my question. Okay, if they're married and one of them commits adultery, can you divorce the person or can you stay in the marriage or something?
You can do both. I believe, and this one, scripture says very clearly, God hates divorce. My parents are divorced, so I'm not saying it to judge anybody, okay? But God very much hates divorce, and if you're unsure about it, please get the sermon or the CD from, or the download from the internet. On Sunday, I spoke about this in depth. Why God hates divorce. So I believe God, in this case, he says, it's the only motivation that scripture says that a man may divorce his wife or a wife may divorce her husband, is if there's sexual immorality. So God allows it, but I don't think that makes it his plan. Okay. For her heart's sake or for his heart's sake, I think staying with somebody who is committing adultery against you God doesn't expect that of anybody because of the destruction it does to their heart. And that's why scripture says, God hates divorce, but only in the case of sexual immorality sort of will he, God say it's okay. Every other divorce scripture says, not acceptable. Gebruik die microfoon as hy werk. We spoke about that at length in some of the previous year's sessions. So I'm going to let one of them, whoever feels wants to answer now. But one of the sessions, I can't remember which one of them, we spoke about guarding your heart. I almost think it's the two halves that make a whole one. Okay.
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I think it's very, very important for us as guys to consider when you're pursuing a girl, you know, just like guy's weakness or they inclined to lust or physical satisfaction, and that on the girl's side she must not like wear skimpy clothes and stuff, she must be responsible with that, and just girls are inclined to emotional, you know, stuff, so you as a guy must be aware of that, be aware that built into this woman is this a need, emotional need, and she is weak in that she will give. So you must be careful to not allow her to give. And that boils down to who the person is. You must know who you are, know who she is. And just in like conversations, and speak to girls, you know, speak to them about how they function emotionally. You know, and get to know them, you know.
Another thing is trust the Holy Spirit. Really trust the Holy Spirit, he'll guide you. And sometimes you need to say to her, listen, can you go speak to your girlfriends about this? This isn't for you and me to talk about. Go back to your small group, go to your friends, go speak to a lady. This isn't something that you can share with me. I'm not comfortable with you sharing this with me now. And have the liberty to say that in a relationship.
I think I might just repeat it, but to the girls, I would really say, you don't have to share your secrets to the guy. He doesn't need to know it. Okay. You can keep a lot of things. A lot of your Philip and I were dating for quite some time when he actually asked me, what are your passions? And I realized that because I've been through a lot of broken relationships, that by the time I dated Philip, I was so closed off. I didn't share anything. And he actually had to ask me, listen, but we're getting serious now. Tell me a little bit about your passions. So that, I think, was a little bit of the extreme, but you definitely can protect your heart from the girl's side to know that this guy wants to get to know you, but he doesn't have to know your dreams and your desires and all your hopes. That's not his place. Okay, your husband will come in that place to know those things. So protect from the girl's side. And then, yeah, like Philip said, if the girl does come to you and start sharing, I don't think you're rude if you just tell her, listen, rather tell your girlfriends that. I don't feel this is my place. I don't think you're rude to tell the girl that. Okay.
Ervia. The guys are the girls now. Scripture speaks. Guys are? Yeah, guys dress well. I think scripture is very clear that a woman's dress should be modest. And obviously, not being religious about it. But girl, just ask yourself, the way I'm dressing now, is this demonstrating concern and love for my own body as well as for the guys around me? Am I making it easy for them to follow God, or am I making it more hard for them to follow Christ? Okay.
For the guy side, if you see a girl is dressed inappropriately, or if you feel that girl really dresses inappropriately, go to a married woman and ask her to please speak to that girl. Don't you go to her and say, yes, sweetie, maak bietjie toe. Off. And like what Philip said, my husband really struggled with that before we got married. And he'd always come to me and ask me, yes, don't you just want to talk to those girls? Because he doesn't know where to look. He's sitting in church and he's like, he doesn't know where to look. But the oath. So girls, be nice to your guy friends. They are struggling. I think most guys struggle. So make it easier for them and cover up so that they can respect you in that. And if a guy doesn't respect you if you dress skimpy, and a godly guy will probably try and avoid you. So guys, you're more than welcome to ask a married girl or one of your good friends to speak to them if you don't know any, one of your good girly friends, if you don't know any married women.
Dani, wat jy het gesê het. Thanks, Donnie. Last two questions. Yes. It's a very relevant question, and I think something we can discuss, and there are different views about that on church. But let's take a couple of minutes we have left, maybe rather to talk about stuff that's applicable to your lives. I don't know if there's someone here who's divorced and looking to get remarried. But maybe we can. I can speak to you about that just between. Yes. He better be. Yes, most definitely. It's one of the characteristics of God that we often forget. One of his names is Jehovah Kana. I am the Lord your God, the jealous one. He isn't jealous of our success. He's not jealous like green jealous, like, but you've got it and I really want it and I don't like you. But you better not touch my goal. Okay. What do you think you're looking at? Okay. Yeah, he mustn't make a nuisance of himself either. Okay. But there's a place for just the guy, he cares for you and he doesn't want someone crapping in his fly, you know? Why are you inviting her for a coffee date? What's up with this nonsense? Okay. One last question. Yes, to me. Just use the microphone so everyone can hear.
Okay. With us, I actually only figured out our callings clicked when we were a year married. So I don't necessarily think that the Spirit reveals that to you from the start. There has to be a few things that you have peace about marrying this man. And then, there has to be a few things that you have peace about marrying this man, about knowing that is the calling that's on his life, and God will give you promises. When we were dating and we were engaged and when we got married, God definitely gave me promises about my calling. And I knew God gave him promises about his calling. But as we are still growing on this marriage path, walking, whatever, those things are making sense now. If you asked me 3 years ago, what does certain things mean that God said to me, I would have told you, I don't know. I know God said this, but I don't know how it's going to come to be. And now it makes sense. So I don't think you necessarily know the details of those things. But there's definitely a dream. And like I said to the one lady last night, you can be a doctor and she can be a lawyer. You guys are not necessarily going to go do missionary work in Afghanistan or whatever. But if you're together in a church, you will have the same heart for the vision of the church. And your calling will grow because you're following God together. So you're not necessarily going to have the blueprint of where you're going.
If it's got to do with a calling and a passion, then you will see it by she doing it. And there where she is and there where she's positioning herself, she'll live it out. So you'll see it.
I think what they're not saying, don't share any dreams and don't speak about your plans and your way forward. But those things that are precious in your heart, girls and guys, don't share that with each other. And that's what Scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it spring forth the issues of life. Okay? So make a plan of keeping those close. There are a couple more people who want to ask questions. How are we doing for time? Can we have one more question?
Just to say, like, I hopefully final word on this emotional thing is, girls can easily get emotionally dependent on the guy. So in the sharing thing, just be careful that what you're sharing, you don't get emotionally dependent. Because girls ask advice, and then he gives advice, and yeah, I know what to do. So I ask him again next time, oh, now I know what to do. Girls like that. They like talking about stuff and getting direction. As the boyfriend, that's not your place. That's why that's part of your heart that you don't trust him with. You can tell him this is my questions and he can give you ideas, but he doesn't have the final say. And you shouldn't allow him to have the final say yet if you're just dating. Because God is there, your husband. And he's going to, and your dad, of course, yeah. Yeah, but I was single for long before I got married.
Okay. There was a question right at the back in the white shirt, and then the guy, yeah, but there's a guy behind you first, and then you. Okay, you're the last, those two questions, and then we're done. Can you just ask the question part of the question again? Were you here last night by any chance? I spoke about that at length last night. So I think, just in fairness to everyone else in time as well, I think you can download it off the web. Is it on already? Mr. Tulani, IT guy, has already laid it up for us with Sarah's nice voice at the beginning. Or you can get the CD. You can, it's a little bit high quality on CD, but I spoke about that at length. What is important is there must be physical attraction. There will be that. You will like the person, but that, yeah, Get Lost Nuts tape, I spoke about that at length yesterday. And then the black guy, yes, you convinced me he's black. It's easy, you both come to our church. No. That's something that you must pray about. There is going to come a time in the relationship where you're going to have to understand that we need to pursue and be going in the same direction like Annette was speaking about. At the beginning, it's not a problem, but as the relationship develops, that is one of the hurdles that you're going to have to address. And as to which church to go to, that's a matter of prayer. That's going to God and saying, God, where do you want us together serving your kingdom? There is no this way or that way regarding that. Okay, but very good question. Very, very good question. Okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for your time. Just before you go, I just want to ask two things. The first one is, we've got a service on Sunday, and Pastor Marion's going to come and speak. Is this the one? Okay, the 4 o'clock service as well as the 6 o'clock service. I do want to ask that some of you make an effort to rather come to the 4 o'clock service than the 6 o'clock service, just because the 6 o'clock service is a little bit fuller than the 4 o'clock service, and it would be nice if we could have some more space in the 6 o'clock service for other visitors. Okay, everyone is always welcome, whichever one suits you best, but if possible, come to the 4 o'clock one. And then, second one, I just want to close off and pray. So if we could just bow our heads again. Father, we want to thank you for this week so far and what it's meant in so many of our lives. Thank you for the clarity you've brought. Thank you for the peace and the restfulness to many of our hearts, God. And Lord, we pray that throughout this week and the month and the years ahead, Lord, that you'll continue to reveal your ways to our hearts, God. Lord, we want to be the best possible husbands, the best wives, God. Lord, reflecting your glory, living out the way that you purposed from the beginning for a husband and a wife to come together. And we pray, God, that you would show us and continue to show us that way, God. Not according to any man's opinion, God, but according to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much, guys. Have a great evening.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like